Wake up, goddammit!
Brothers and sisters, we are now about to bring forth a bad, bad brother!
Good morning, Twin Cities. Your main man, Adam West. Welcome to another episode of Pulse of the City, 94.1 Frogtown Community Radio. If you're local, if you listen outside of the state area, WFNU.org. Go ahead and check us out. Stream us online. Podcast is always available at www.unofficialadamwest.com. Today's guest, Asale Soul, artist. Going to share with us how she does what she does when she does it. She will be showing up here in just a little bit. In the meantime, I just like to get right into the tune. So, Dramatics, what you see is what you get. WFNU is a volunteer run station made up of many different community voices. Each program expresses one aspect of that diversity, not the views of WFNU and FNA as a whole. Dig it, y'all.
Real as a real.
Pulse of the City. It's your main man, Adam West. This is how we do every Saturday, 8 a.m. Wake up! I got my coffee here. And I have with me my guest, Asale Soul, visionary. Good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning, good morning. I am awake. I'm here, you know?
All right.
And I'm feeling good.
We're off to a great start. We are off to a great start. You know, the last time I met with you was with another guest I'd had on here, Jameel Jude, who just moved. Congratulations to him. But I'm so awesome to have an opportunity to get to know you today. So tell the folks, who is Asale Soul?
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, I like to describe myself, as you said, as a visionary. I started off as a solid theater artist, as a someone who studied theater, African-American history, and really believed and believes presently in the power of theater to move people. I won't say galvanize. Galvanize was like a really strong word, right? But to move people, to expand their thoughts, their perspectives of things. And through that, have some kind of social impact.
Galvanize is a strong word, but it's kind of the word that you're kind of striving for, in a way.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely the goal. But I think to say that art, it's hard to draw a concrete line, right, between art and social action. When I was in undergrad, I got to study theater in South Africa. Specifically around the theater that impacted the end of apartheid, right? Their emancipation, their liberation movement. And, you know, the way that they did a lot of guerrilla theater, those folks that were thinking about social justice and galvanizing people. And so they used this guerrilla street model to almost incorporate themselves as everyday people to be like, look, like, we can stand up. To this system, we can take it down.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not impossible. Like, the line isn't completely hard to see. I think in this country, at least as far as my knowledge of theater history goes, it's harder for me to see that connection, that direct, very direct line.
Right. That's interesting. You mentioned guerrilla theater. Dominic Cavanetti, an actor here in Twin Cities, originally from Africa, and he had actually mentioned a few times that he had been a part of that theater movement over there, and how he had bounced around and how he had been run out of there for his contributions to the theater over there. So that's to hear that makes it very. Very real. It's a very real thing. And with it being that real, what keeps it alive? Like, in a situation like that, right? Okay, it's they're under duress. But when we're not under duress, do you think that we take for granted the access to the voice that we have over here? Where would you like to fill in the holes as an artist?
That's a great question. I think, I don't know that I would say we take it for granted. I think that socially conscious artists are trying to push people, like, to move the masses, absolutely. I think that there might be a belief or a faith gap, right? Of like, I don't know if my art, whether visual or you know, theater art, will get people to rise up out of their seats and go storm the Capitol, right? Like, I don't know. I think there's that doubt there.
Right.
And with that, it's the, because the next question is, if you have the belief, the faith, the next question is, okay, what do I need to do, or how do I need to engineer my art?
Right.
To reach that, because I know that it's possible.
Thoughts become actions. Absolutely.
Exactly. So I think for me, just that question of how I want my art to contribute to that. You know, as I really get back into theater art and really get back into writing and things like that, it's important to really listen right now. And in listening, there's a sort of silencing of any biases, right, that you have to have. I think in order to really access the people that are in positions of power through art, you have to understand their perspective. You have to be willing to receive it internally. And I'm not talking about be willing to shuck and jive.
Right.
Like, I hope no one hears me saying that.
Right. But you have to internalize in order to play it true.
Yep.
When you recreate whatever it is you're recreating that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, a lot of artists end up in spaces or demonstrating, sharing art in spaces with folks who already agree. Right? Like, who do you invite to your shows? Who do you invite to your gallery openings? You invite your homies.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And they already think like you.
Right.
So, you know, what does it look like to push that envelope of, okay, I want my art to reach the folks that aren't going to naturally come through this door?
Yes.
But how do I get them to stay in their seat? Right? And how do I get them to actually process what I'm sharing with them? And I think that's tricky. I mean, you know, with New Griots, did you get a chance to see the festival at all?
You know,
it's cool if you didn't.
That was right around surgery time, actually.
Oh, wow.
I got out of the hospital from the bowel resection that weekend that you opened.
Wow.
Or that last, like, was it one weekend?
It was two.
It was two, yeah. So it was the closing weekend, the 16th.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had emailed Jamil. I was like, man, I'm getting out at noon. And they ran some errands about 2:30. I was like, man.
You ran errands? I was, bro, how are you not asleep?
I was laid up and I was so anxious just to get out of there. It was driving me nuts. So, cool. No, I did not, long story short, I did not see New Griots Festival.
Okay.
But talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that I really found interesting about the festival, so the festival this year was at the Guthrie, which very well known to the staff at the Guthrie, that is a very white space.
Right.
And it's a very, like, middle upper class space.
Right.
And so, you know, the New Griot artists are black artists.
Right.
Telling stories from their perspective, whether, again, through visual or performance arts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the audience members reflected the folks on stage, but also because it's at the Guthrie, there was a huge contingent of folks who are just Guthrie goers.
Right.
That's
major.
Right?
To get to that community with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important. And so just kind of watching the ways that those two groups, I'll say, just interacted and
that's
received
what it's all about.
Each other.
Yeah.
My only question is, once people walk away and they've had their, because folks get super excited. They're like, mm-hmm. young black artists
right.
in Minnesota. Like, this is really exciting. This is dope.
Yeah.
My question is, how far are the thoughts going or the conversations going after?
Right. Was it entertainment value conversation, or is it something that really... somebody woke up next morning like, man, you know, I've really been thinking a lot about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there is. It's just you're trying to double up that percentage every show.
Absolutely.
Keep it moving. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So that's where I hope to go. I'm easing back into it. I was on a pretty significant hiatus from active theater work.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah. Very worthwhile.
for a bevy of reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot, you know, in your journey that brings you back to what you love.
Yes.
Definitely.
Definitely. We got plenty more. Sally Soul, Pulse of the City, 818. Wake up, everybody. You should have your coffee by now. Maybe some biscuits, some waffles or something. Bring a boy a plate, 995 Universe. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, include me in that.
Bring two plates. Two plates. You want to keep it locked. We're going to get into some music here. Tribe Called Quest, Electric Relaxation. 94.1 WFNU, Frogtown Community Radio.
Relax yourself, girl, be set, damn. Relax yourself, girl, be set, damn. it out, you got me mesmerized. With your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday. But yo, I gotta stop when you drop my weight. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got BBD all on your bedroom wall. But I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out. But sex was on my mind for the whole damn route. My mind was in a frenzy in a horny state. But I couldn't drop down because you couldn't relate.
You let yourself
grow,
he said.
You couldn't relate.
You let yourself grow, he said.
You couldn't relate.
You let yourself grow, he said.
Stretch out your legs, let me make you ball. Drive you insane, drive you up the wall. Staring at your known piece, very strong. Stronger than pride, stronger than Teflon. Take you on the Ave and you buy me links. Now I want a pound of until it stinks. You could be my mama and I'll be your boy.
Original road boy, never am I coy. You could be a shorty in my ill convoy. Not to come across as a thug or a hood. Whoa. But hun, you got the goods like Madeline Wood. By the way, my name's Malik, the 5 foot freak. They say we get together by the end of the week. She simply said no, label me a. I said, how you figure? My friends tell me so. I hate when silly groupies wanna run their yap. Word to God, hun, I don't get down like that.
I'll have you weak in the knees that you can hardly speak. Or we could do like Uncle Ella swinging up in my Jeep. Keep it on the down, yo, we keep it discreet. See, I'm not the type of kid to have my biz in the streets.
If my mom don't approve, then I'll just elope. Let me save the little man from inside the boat. Let me hit it from the back, girl, I won't catch a hernia. Off on your couch, now you got Siemens furniture.
Shy, he fight for the extra P. Stacy Beetle, PJ, and my man LG. They know the ass jack is really so on ice. The character is of man, never ever a mice. Shorty, let me tell you about my only vice. It has to do with lots of loving, and it ain't nothing nice.
You let yourself grow, he said.
It ain't nothing nice.
You let yourself grow, he said.
any children that live?
Sir, yes, sir.
I bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
Sir, Leonard Lawrence, sir.
Lawrence, Lawrence, what, of Arabia?
Sir, no, sir.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Sir, no, sir.
One of my favorite movies, Full Metal Jacket. I play that quite often. Need to get in here and once I figure out how to bleep out a lot of swear words, I don't know how to do that because there's so many clips I want to add, like from Dead Presidents, okay, Lorenz Tate, and all that, you know, but too hot for the airway.
Right, right. Until we figure that out.
Pulse of the City, 94.1 FM, WFNU.org, streaming online. This is Pulse of the City. My guest today is Asale Soul. Thank you again for being a guest today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Right on, right on. We were talking about galvanizing the troops and reaching different layers to different audiences, trying to stimulate long-term productive conversation with folks that don't normally interact on that particular side of the tracks. And most specifically, the New Griots Festival, which, you know, was completed about a month ago at the Guthrie Theater. We were talking about that whole experience. What else did you take away from that, doing the New Griots Festival at the Guthrie?
At the Guthrie? You know, it was interesting just to, because this was my first year with New Griots, which was the festival's second year, and it's an every other year festival, for those who don't know. And so for me, it was just really fascinating to watch the process, taking this sort of mix of emerging, of more established black artists in the Twin Cities, and really giving them this very large platform. And watching them lean into that, right? For the folks that were more accustomed to it, you know, there you don't see a whole lot of growth there. You're like happy that we came together, right? And we got to do this work together. But it's so fun to see the artists that are younger and literally emerging, like literally coming into this place of like, wait, I have a talent. Wait, people are interested in my talent. And then putting them again at the Guthrie, giving them this very large platform and seeing how they lean into that. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. It's like, oh, because,
yeah.
You know, truth be told, you never know how people are going to respond. Some people could really shy away from that of like, oh, my gosh, this is more than I thought. And I'm really nervous.
Right.
But we consistently had our artists just really own it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, and. Yeah, on that level, I mean, you got to bring it.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I'd be pumped.
Yeah.
You're going to go one way or the other with something like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's true. It's true. And so as we think about the future of New Griot, as New Griot festivals, I think about the future of it. I'm really interested in figuring out how we can prolong or sustain that transformational journey. So how can we begin to work with artists even sooner,
seasons of their lives,
right,
seasons of their career,
right, so that, you know, almost like building very concrete intentional cohorts that are moving, creating their classes together with each other's feedback versus just the producers' feedback, creating their pieces together.
Right.
You know, in terms of like, I'm thinking about this, what y'all think? Anybody want to, you know, because then you could have cool partnerships.
And that's one of the favorite parts about it is collaboration. You know, the meeting of the minds, getting all these different personalities and perspectives in one room to not so much buy into, but to feel genuinely the same way about one particular goal or direction, you know, can be challenging. Sometimes it's super easy.
Right.
But the journey is
everything.
Everything.
It's everything. The
definitely.
Learning.
Yes.
The humility of working with another very talented, driven artist who has their own vision. Right now, I'm doing a lot of grant writing right now.
Okay.
and I grant Wright for...
So should I write my name down here? You can go ahead.
You're like, we all need that money.
Got to have it. I got a dream.
Right. I know, right? We all do. Man, if only the pot was... It's pretty big, but, yeah, you right. know. Right, right, yeah. But I'm writing right now for an organization called Black Dance Company.
Uh-huh.
Which is a North Minneapolis-based mm-hmm. dance company, all black women. And, you know, the vision of black is really powerful. It's really about allowing a public space for black women to be themselves. Mm. And using dance, using movement, using sign, ASL, as our vehicle for that.
Wow.
And so right now I'm working on a grant for that dance company that is really trying to take the raw vision of a jazz, what I consider a jazz connoisseur, one of our elders in community who just knows jazz very well, mm-hmm. has a huge bank, right? A jazz
right.
bank.
Right.
understands the intricacies, the controversies that my generation is like, oh, there's controversy within jazz? Like, I don't even know what that means, right? Like, he has that level of understanding.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, this dance company and really taking the vision of the artistic director, the choreographer, and the visions of this poet, mm-hmm. and again, this person that has this wealth of information about jazz, and trying to bring those minds together, those visions together.
Which sounds like a beautiful combination.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I'm pretty excited just that I get to be a part of that. I get to sit in the rooms, you know, with the thoughts happening and flowing. I get to contribute every now and again. So.
Right, yeah.
That's really nice, and I will be, regardless of the grant,
mm-hmm.
the collaboration will live.
Will live.
Right,
yeah.
So.
Well, because that's not the only station in town to get... All right, to get grants.
Right.
And then there's also, you know, self-promo and et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
and
it'll
you
live
just,
on.
You do the work because you love it.
Yes.
Do it because you love it. So I'll be really, I am excited to watch the journey, and I'll be mm-hmm. excited to see the product or experience the
mm-hmm.
the product.
And that's really great.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and I'm interested in collab too, personally, mm-hmm. you know, just to that question of like, again, going back to how I see myself in the work of performance art and I would say activism. I think that there's just so much power in the listening of the people, being able to listen to the people,
mm-hmm.
but also I'm so strong in my vision, and it's like, well, how can someone else come in or another group come in and us really expand that, blow that up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
where does that come from? Strength of vision. For you.
Hmm.
Take your time.
Oh, man.
I mean, I try to answer this question myself every morning.
Every morning, okay.
Well, yeah, because it, you know, for me, life is always about every 5,000 miles getting tuned up, you know, and if you're a car person and you love cars, like, you're constantly tinkering with your car every opportunity you get. So I love myself, so I'm constantly tinkering with, you know, my thoughts and my visions all the time as to, you know, where I'm trying to get. And so it's ever changing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Absolutely. I think that my greatest influence is in social justice. And I think that whatever realm I'm visioning in, that's the anchor.
Mm.
And that puts a lot of passion behind whatever the vision needs to be.
Right.
Because I was raised that way,
mm-hmm.
you know, raised to take a huge interest not only in self, but in community and in people. In my people. So.
In Chicago, / Evanston, Illinois.
Yep.
I mean, that's there's so much of that history in that city.
Absolutely.
You know,
it was so accessible to me as a young person.
Right.
You know, I grew up in Evanston with Chicago, you know, right there at the next door, the back door, however you want to think about that. And had easy access to black theater in Chicago, to the jazz scene.
Right.
As a young person, you know, right. I was born in 85. I don't mind people knowing that. And so I wasn't of the jazz generation.
Right.
But it felt awesome to be able to, because Chicago has a huge jazz scene.
Right.
To be able to just experience that live, not listen to records, not hear stories about the right. impact of jazz, but to experience that as a young person, that was really amazing. That was an amazing backdrop as a young person. So it's like I had the Chicago spoken word scene. I was a part of the Chicago black theater scene, had the Chicago music scene. Yeah. And I would say that all of those artistic elements, as presented in a city like Chicago, had that social justice, that activist kind of piece
already anchored in.
Anchored in as well. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me, like with my family being the folks that they are, and talking to them, talking to me as a young person the way that they did, with this social life that I was building for myself, it was hard for me to just not
to not be that.
Right. Well, you can't. Yeah. You don't get to do art for art's sake, and I'm not criticizing anybody who does that. I'm just saying, for me, it could never be that.
Right.
So
art for art's sake. I mean, that is a whole journey in itself, because that it was a portion of it. Was like that for me in my early 20s, being a, I guess you could say, young guy moving to Minneapolis at 21.
Okay.
I mean, to sum it all up, I took some classes at Brave New Workshop and improv theater there in Hennepin. And in the basement, you can sign your wall, similar to the way you can sign your wall in the station. And at the old place, my signature, I wrote on there Hollywood bound. So from 21, like as that was a big like tunnel vision for me. You know what I mean? Like entertainment's sake, you know, all the bells and the whistles and et cetera.
Right.
And then the journey of it and the struggles and the successes, the steak and then the ramen noodle nights. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so it's gonna go up and down. Brings me to a humble place of gut check, where it's like, okay, why are you really doing this? Because not everybody gets to have all of this.
The steak every night.
Right.
With the red wine.
So why are you out here again?
Shrimp on the side.
Right. And it's still stuck. You know what I mean? And I just think, you know, performing arts, the arts is just such a powerful and important piece to our society. I mean, it's a release valve in times of when all these topics and hashtags are going on like they are right now.
Right.
Like, you know, there's a lot of question marks from people that read it, may get entertainment value out of it, but might walk away from it, leave it some type of way. And we are a window of a visionary's mind to that audience, exposing the question marks and generating that dialogue, and to be a part of that is what it's all about. You know, pulse of the city.
Yeah. Do you think that theater, just the things you're speaking about earlier, I mean, do you believe or think that theater can move, like galvanize, move the masses to actually take action on the things that the conversations have been about?
I'm a bit of a cynical, so I'm going to say yes, but production is everything. And not just production from a quality perspective, but production from a financial perspective. Because regardless of anything, big money talks. That's just the world we live in.
Yep, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's art, and that's great, and you've got 500 million people behind you. Now, that's different. When you get up in big numbers of big people, but still, they can still just lock the door, and you can have 5 million people banging on a door.
Right.
But wallets open doors. And that's the cynical side of me. You know, but I also do believe that there are empathetic hearts that live in these high places behind those doors that we're trying to get to, that empathize with what we're trying to do. And so I, although it can be a long shot, I do believe that that galvanization can reach those people, mm-hmm. but we don't know where they are.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's so I teeter between those two worlds about it.
That's real.
You know,
that's real. And I do think it's important for me not to stay there, you know, stay in just the history of what we've seen work
right.
and not work.
Right.
Which is majority of the things seem to struggle with effectiveness on this point of dialogue. But again, I have to hold that piece of that history of South Africa that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And even the Maori culture, the Maoris in New Zealand, right, use theater. They have a very theatrical cultural performance element that is used for healing very intentionally, used for bringing the people together. Mm. The birthplace of theater, the continent, right, like a similar history of just, you know, how we bring people together to speak to them, to engage with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
identity is the word that pops to my mind as you were speaking, because all those things that you're listening is a part of our culture,
mm-hmm.
And you know there's that element too is reaching our own masses, and saying, there's a king or a queen that already exists right there, and this is where it's offset from.
Mm-hmm.
This is the core of it, mm-hmm. and bleeding that identity back into, you know, misguided youth, off the beaten path, you know, people that went astray as adults, you know. Sellouts. I mean, we just keep it real. I mean, there's all types of ways you can venture off and forget where the heartbeat comes from, and so that's where I feel where you're coming from, because you preserving that, and that will galvanize, because that's real and it did happen. You can't wipe away history.
Right.
You just can't do it. I mean, you can on social media. You can on Fox.
Right.
I mean, you know, disrespect to Fox, but I'm just saying, like, on the news,
right.
You can.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, in my generation, you know, we're not that far in age.
Right.
79, and so my history books only had pictures of slavery, encyclopedias. Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't other aspects to the black community,
right,
other than that,
right.
And so that's all I was taught, and it was about two pages, and we moved on to, you know, George Washington chopping down a cherry tree,
right,
you know. And
right, and you're, you know, that time you didn't have that access to just do your own digging,
not like you do now.
Not in the same way,
man,
because the encyclopedia is dope, but it's nothing like,
who wants to dig through the card catalog all day? I'm not gonna lie.
I'm like, I think encyclopedias are cool for their, you know, they're just, you know, piece of history value at
right,
this point.
Right. Take a picture with the encyclopedia.
Right.
You know, because that's what it is, history, you know.
But, yeah. So, I mean, and just even getting into the educational factor of performing arts and just the importance of education in general, you know, my sort of hiatus from doing theater was so that I could focus on direct education, directly impacting what a young person experiences in a classroom, directly impacting what a young person has access to learn about from the person standing in front of them, from the people that they're being exposed to. Like, I think, you know, education can be so much, and we see it in other parts of the world, be that. Be more heavily about field trips than homework. Be more heavily about guests coming into the classroom and directly exposing young people to something that they might not get to touch until college or graduate school.
Graduate school, right. It's almost like a delayed education.
Right.
It's coming, but not when you think it is.
Right.
And so there's a learning curve with that, you know. It's almost out of the loop until they're able to kind of meet back in the middle ground of that. I know what you're working on now with the dance company. Mm-hmm. But what about what's in the hopper for you, you know, personally, as far as what you have, you know, a labor of love that you may have about yourself or your experience that, you know, you're trying to put upon its feet or it's currently on its feet, things of that nature.
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't say that there's anything that's in the kiln right now.
Mm-hmm. Because the hiatus with the education and
right.
And, you know, the theater artist you're, you know, teaching the young ones is so important.
Absolutely.
And on so many levels, because, you know, I think one of my greatest joys that I got out of, you know, teaching the young ones was that some of my best performers in the class were the cut-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and providing them exactly. with another channel.
Exactly.
And seeing them just rock it.
Exactly.
And then the look and the light bulb that comes on in them, like...
It's everything.
Everything.
You could live for that each day.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
could die, live again, yeah. just for that. You know what I'm saying? It's so real. People don't know. It's very real.
It is. It is. Definitely.
So, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about doing some assistant directing with the Guthrie on a piece called Familiar by Denai Gear. I'm not going to say her last name right, which I hate.
It's okay.
But that would be something that I'm really excited about, just to get, you know, to keep coming back, right? Continue to get pulled back in. And because I'm coming back, you know, I do want to take my time. Like, visioning is really easy for me. Mm. Not going to lie. Like, it's
your gift.
Right.
Right.
It's, and I think that understanding that I never have to worry about not being able to do it.
Mm.
What I want to do right now is really make sure that I am, again, like, that listening piece is so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really making sure I'm connecting, and it's really making sure that, you know, to the point you made about quality earlier, to really make sure that after the hiatus that, like, those skills are still there.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
You know, because you can vision all day.
Right.
And for someone like me, that's the easy part.
Right.
That's the, like, man.
Well, getting to the pavement. Is
right.
A story.
Right. Yeah. And knowing, you know, that the success of the past will follow you into the present.
Mm. Yes.
You have to ensure that.
Yes.
You know?
Faith, that faith piece you were talking about.
Yep. And that work ethic. Mm-hmm. Man, just put in the work. Like, okay, so you can philosophize, but where's the action? So, you know, I think that opportunities with Black Dance Company, New Griots Festival, future opportunities with the Guthrie, like, those are all places for me to really test myself, push myself, mm-hmm. say, hey, okay, there's a reason why the doors stay open.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
To me coming back after right. such a long hiatus.
Yep.
So, and then it's...
Because you already made your mark and they know how you get down.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yep. So then it's that faith piece of, like,
yeah.
you're held.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah.
So go
that's kind of right where we're in exactly the same spot because yeah, for better of, I don't know, 15 years, it was just all I wanted to do was just acting. I was there. I didn't want to do anything else.
Okay.
You know, nothing. And, but I had this, from former schooling, and so now it's been like a flip flop. So now we've gotten back into the broadcast aspect, and the theater doesn't necessarily go on a shelf, but it goes over here.
Right.
But I know that it's accessible at any time when the time is right.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Because you know you've found your identity in that. You found your personality, your style. All those things have been seasoned and developed. Okay, cool. So anytime I need this seasoning, I can always, you know, rip the top off of this and dump it all in if I need to.
Absolutely.
And that feels good as an artist, you know.
It feels great.
You know, knowing that you can access, you know, your gift in its truest form 110% whenever anybody asks you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And just even recognizing the ways that it impacts, influences the other things. The not shelled or puts, things that you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that education in radio.
Yeah.
Theater is huge.
Right. Yes. So I could talk about theater and acting and artists and paintings and drawings and all the anything creative. I talk about all day long.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of movements, Gil Scott Heron, Revolution, yes, will not be televised. Hey. Keep it locked. 94.1 WFNU, Frogtown Community Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lights of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hahn, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
.1 WFNU Frogtown Community Radio, Pulse of the City, main man Adam West. My guest today has been Asale Soul. Thank you so much, Miss Visionary.
Thank you.
And let the folks know how they can get in contact, reach you, follow you. What's on the horizon?
What are my handles?
Yeah, yeah, all that technological talk.
Right.
Drop them.
Right, except, right, I'm not super into tech like that, but Facebook is a great way. I usually let people know what's happening in community, particularly North Minneapolis. That's where my heart is, and that's where I also let people know what I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
So Asale Soul Young is the full Facebook name to find me under. I promise you I'm the only one. So A-S-A-L-E-S-O-L. That's my first name. One word, Asale Soul. So if you start typing that in, you'll find me. Instagram, Black Woman. It's B-L-A-B-L-K underscore. I'm sorry. Wow. B-L-K.
Take two.
WOMYN, so Black Woman underscore Dives, DIVES.
Ooh, Black Woman Dives.
Black Woman Dives. I'm a scuba diver. It's literal and metaphoric.
Really?
I dive into things.
regularly. You tell me this now?
I know, right?
Scuba diver.
Black woman hiding in Minneapolis. Little
wow.
Let me
find out you taught Aquaman how to swim.
I know I love the water. But yeah, and I'm around. Pretty much I spend most of my time in North. So
Yeah, no doubt.
See me in those streets.
See me in them streets. shout out to the Capri Theater.
Absolutely. Shout out to the Capri.
Daryl Coles. He's he wrote a play about the Capri Theater growing up as a kid, what it used to be and what it's changed into now,
et cetera. That out. Okay.
Yeah. Daryl Cole, shout out to him. He was a guest on here about 3 weeks ago. In the meantime,
shout out to Black Dance.
Yes.
Northside based dance company.
Can't wait to see that.
Yes, you gotta come through.
And you're always welcome back here. It's like Big Tigger in the basement, Rap City. You know, I just ain't got mama in here cooking, that's all. But
that's
you're always welcome.
That's definitely.
Definitely. Well, until next time, Twin Cities, your main man, Adam West, Pulse of the City. It's been a wonderful, wonderful conversation today. You can catch this later on the podcast at www.unofficialadamwest.com. It's got all my contact info and what I do, how I do it, and how we do it here every week. Saturdays, 8 a.m. See you next week. Peace. Yes.
Scholar.